Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
You know, as we look around, we see that some of our familiar faces are not here today because they're on vacation. I like to think of a vacation as being someplace where you're away from all the phones and all the cares that come to you. A time of refreshing. Now, I've watched all kinds of tea brief programs that highlight how to buy a beachfront property with no money down and very, very, very low monthly payments. I watch International House Hunters. Have you ever watched that show? And I guess to go around the world and, you know, and see how much it costs to live in other places. And I even watch a show that tells you how much the cost is to live in Hawaii. Now, these are all fantasies for me. But I get to live vicariously through watching these programs. You know, I get to dream my dream. There was a time when we had a real vacation. I had promised my wife when we were married that we would go to Jamaica. And I finally kept the promise 40 years later. And we finally got to go. And boy, that was the only real vacation I think I've really ever had. I just loved it. And so I love these programs because, you know, maybe in 40 years I'll get to go there. But I want you to pretend with me for a moment that you, I don't know, you just won the lottery or the tax return was just a real era in your favor. Or your rich uncle that you've never met and that you didn't know about died leaving you a fortune. And for a moment, let's just pretend that we live on a wonderful South Sea island. You know, I've thought about that a lot. Maybe you've kind of daydreamed about that from time to time. It's a place where you've always lived. You've always been there. You're an islander. You know, I'm just a Texan. I say just a Texan. I'm going to try that a third time, just a Texan. Ah, yeah, okay. Yee-haw, I got. Someone literally said yee-haw. But it took three times for me to get it. But we're living on an island, and we've always been there. And you've had occasion to explore the island, or at least parts of it. And you've been to the rainforest, and you've seen the waterfalls, and you've been to the big found plantations where they grow that wonderful fruit, and you've seen the smoke and the ash from the great volcano that is the highlight of your island, and you've stood on the lava fields yourself, and you've gotten to meet a lot of people that live in these various places, and they see the world a little differently than you do. You live in a house near the beach, and you're used to the waves and everything, but they may live in the rainforest, or they live close to the volcano, or they live someplace else, and you've enjoyed that. You've gotten to know them, but you all live on the island, and you all have that to unite you. You know that you all live in the same location, and you've all been to school, and you've all studied the weather patterns. You know, and you've all been afraid that the volcanic ash will cause global warming or global cooling or something. And you've heard all these stories, and you share that in common with everybody, whether they live in the rainforest or whether they live on the beach. You feel like you're all islanders. You feel like you're one. And you've always made your living on the sea You've always fished, and maybe you've collected shells. You've done something that makes you feel akin to the ocean. You feel that sense of being there. You've climbed coconut trees, and you've wiggled your toes in the white sand. You've really enjoyed it. But one day, you're out walking around on the beach, and you find a bottle that's washed up, and it seems to have something inside, and you move the cork out, and you find a little message. And it says, "Help is on the way." And you go, "What? Who's on the way? And what help do I need? I live on the island." But it bothers you that somebody has put this in. Is there somebody else? I mean, we live on this island. We don't live anywhere else. I mean, we know that there's a story long, long, long time ago that we were all castaways on this island, but we're too busy with life. We've forgotten all about that, and we dismiss that story entirely. So what in the world does this mean? Help is on the way. We're an islander. We got stuff going here. I eat fish. I'm going to live a long life. I can go to the rainforest. I can go to the plantation. I can get anything I want. Why do I need help? And a friend comes along. He says, "Oh, don't worry about that." He said, "That's just some practical joke the island kids are playing." And you think, "Well, yeah, that must be it. Makes me feel better." And then about a couple of weeks later, you walk out on the beach and you find another bottle in the surf this time. And it too has a message inside. And you pull out the cork and you pull out the message, and it says, "Help is on the way. I'm coming to rescue you." Who are you? And why are you coming to rescue me? I don't need a rescue. What's all this about? I mean, why? And it really bothers you. And you tell your family and your friends, and they're bothered by it too. And no one can really come up with an answer, because all the kids say, "No, I never did that." So it can't be just a practical joke. I mean, who's coming? Why do we need to be rescued? Is there something else out there? I mean, besides the island? What's going on? And as you're going through this stuff, you're trying to put it out of your mind, but kind of like a tune you've heard a long time ago, the tune just keeps repeating in your head. You know, and the words keep popping up. "I'm coming. Help is on the way. I'm coming to rescue you." And you go, "Why, you know, I don't know. It bothers me. It puzzles me. And no one can give me an answer as to what all this means." Is there really something else out there? The old story's true. Is there really a mainland? Is someone really coming because they know something I don't know? Is a volcano going to erupt? What's going to happen? I wonder, do you find that story a little familiar? I mean, a plan to rescue you. Is there such a plan? Do you wonder? Well, you know, all of that verse by verse, story by story is told in this Bible. That's what it's all about. Men, kings, prophets, holy men, teachers, they've all said the same thing. Help is on the way. You want to hold on to that. It sounds like good news. But first you have to realize that you need help, that you're willing to receive the help, that each and every one of us, all of us, need to know who's coming and why. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, I ask that you will be here in a very special way, that you will invade our space, that you will get right into our face and into our minds and to our hearts and to our souls, that you will come into our lives, and that we will hear your voice, not mine. Cast mine aside. Cast everything I've said aside. Do not speak with the words that I've put down on paper or that the translator is trying to use or anything, but speak to each heart here in your own language as you want to. Teach us. Let us know what it is to have you as our personal Savior. Let us know why we need you. Let us know. Speak to us with words of love, but speak to us with words of firmness and of truth so that we will know that these words have come from you. For we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Look with me, if you would, in Luke, first chapter. And I'm going to be reading basically from 30 to 35. It's a story you've heard a lot. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God." You know, the people that live on the island have to realize one thing, and that is the island is not all there is. Sometimes we even sing songs. Is this all there is? I remember when I was growing up in the 60s, it came out on the Apple label. It was a Beatles song. It was a song sung by a girl, and it was, "Is that all there is? Is that all there is?" I don't know. But we have to realize that we were not created to live eternal lives in a temporary land. We were not created to live eternal lives in a temporary land. If you can understand that, then you understand that God is coming back. You have to be rescued. If you're not rescued, you're not going to survive, because you cannot take who you really are created to be and exist any longer in this location. You can't do it. There is a plan for your deliverance. There is a plan. The clouds on the horizon that you see are not storm clouds. They're white sails. And there are great ships that are being blown directly to the island to evacuate you, keep you from being destroyed. In verse 26 and 27, it says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary." You know, Christ came into the world from the mainland, from heaven to the earth. He is the help God has promised us throughout the pages of the Bible. He is the one that every prophet pointed to. He is the one who is coming to rescue you. He comes to save you from the destruction that's coming to the world. He comes to you as an islander. The initiative is all God's. Now listen to me very carefully, because some people believe they can work their way to heaven. That's just not true. It never has been true. Any more than an islander could escape the island. They've never known any other land. They can't escape. You cannot work your way to the mainland. Only God can intentionally save you. That's what John 3:16 is all about. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The birth of Jesus was entirely at the initiative of God. God chose her to be the one who would be the mother of Christ. Mary did not see how it was possible for someone like her. She had never known a man. How is it possible? There have been miraculous things that happened before. I mean, Abraham and Sarah had a son. How did that happen? She was well past the age of having children. Well, Abraham had something to do with it. Abraham and Sarah came together, and out of that came a child. Recently, in the life of Mary, she knew that Zacharias and Elizabeth, who was well past the age of having children, came together, and they too were going to have a child named John the Baptist. But this was not like that at all. This was totally different. This was something that God was going to do at His own initiative and by His own power. Nothing like this had ever happened before. A bottle had never washed up on the shore before. The message had never been there before. The message was about to be delivered to the world. Mary did not see how it was possible. How is it possible? All things are possible by God. All things. Mary's child would be born as a result of God's direct action. Mary had nothing to do with it. Joseph had nothing to do with it. Notice that the angel did not tell Mary, go be in a convent for a while, or go and pray for 30 days, or stop eating and do things. Nothing was told to Mary that she had to do. She had been chosen as a direct result of God's action. He was going to father a child with her. Listen to what it says here in 35. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. God takes initiative throughout the Bible. He does not wait for a man to save himself. That would be just as unlikely as waiting for the islanders to save themselves. They don't know how to. They can make contingency plans of how to evacuate the island in case when the volcano erupts, but they don't have any ships. They don't have any way to evacuate. You know, I've heard scientists say today that they're trying to figure out how we can migrate to Mars and beyond. Because when this old planet burns out, they want someplace else for life to continue. That's man's plan. That's not God's plan. And man's plans will always fail because they're filled with unforeseen circumstances. God's plans never fail. He already knows what will happen when His plan is instituted. God does not wait. God does not wait for man to try to do anything. He doesn't wait for man to develop a deliverer. He sent his own Son to save us. God the Son became a man, taking flesh from Mary. And there are three fundamental things that you need to know about the character of Christ. And all of us need to be reminded. Jesus is God. Jesus is man. Jesus is holy. The Son of the Most High, the Son of God. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus is described as God with us, Emmanuel. In one of the letters, the Philippians, Paul writes this in chapter 2 and verse 6, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. And then he went on to say in 2 Corinthians 8:9, he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor. Prior to being born, Jesus was God with the Father. In John 1:1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing was made that was not made by Him. He made it all. He became poor for us and was born of flesh by the Virgin Mary. He is God's gift to the human race. He is the one who comes to rescue us. Now, the Old Testament prophets, they were the kings and the holy men of God. They were like you and me. They were islanders. They didn't have a way to the mainland. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. They didn't have that way. They did not have it. Jesus did. He came from heaven to earth to save us. Now, once you understand that Jesus is God, you can then grasp that Jesus is man. Now, it's very important that you understand that. It's perhaps as important to your salvation as recognizing that Jesus is God, is that Jesus is man. God comes to the earth because only God can reconcile man to God. Listen to me very carefully. Man cannot be reconciled simply by man to God. God has to come to earth in order to reconcile men to God. But he also comes in the flesh because only man can be punished for the sins of mankind. That's why he came and took on the flesh of men. There was a whole school of theology that took place within the first 150 years after Jesus arose from the grave that said that Jesus was just a spirit, that he never was flesh. He was flesh. It is impossible for man to pay for the sins of the world. Only man can suffer for the sins. Jesus, as a man, went to the cross. It was his flesh that he laid down. He is also holy. Now, that means that he has never sinned, but it means much more than that. It means that every thought he ever had, every action, every trait he ever had was holy. He said, I only say the things the Father tells me to say. I only do the things the Father tells me to do. No other human being on earth can ever have said that but Jesus. Jesus came to fulfill that holiness. Then he said to us, be holy as your Father is holy. Be like God. He came to give us that. You know, we inherit things. Adam was a man who sinned. And when he sinned, he changed his character, his nature changed. And he passed that on to all the other islanders, to all of us. Parents do that. They pass on traits. You can see that in their eyes and the color of their hair sometimes, and whether or not they get prematurely bald and all kinds of things. Some things are good, some things are bad. My parents passed things down to me. One of them was for heart attacks, and one was for cancer, and one was for this, and one was for that. But they also gave me their traits, their qualities of life, their philosophies of life, their teachings, their faith. But you know, they couldn't pass on to me holiness because they were not holy. Only Christ is holy. So the only way I can be holy is to receive Jesus himself, who is holy, into my heart. And I have to do that. It cannot be passed on to me. Someone is not born a Christian. They're born again as a Christian. Jesus was only holy in his thoughts and his actions. He was holy, and he wants us to be holy. You know, it says in Hebrews 2:10, and I want to read it to you. For it is fitting for him who for whom all are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. One of the reasons Jesus came to earth was to transform us from mere islanders into the kinds of people that could inhabit heaven. God is holy. You have to be holy to co-inhabit heaven with him. How do you get that holiness? You have to receive the rescue, the help from the deliverer, who is Jesus Christ. You have to be born again into a new creature. You can't remain an islander. He has no intention for you to. For the first time in the world's history, a holy human being walked the earth. His name is Jesus. Hard for us to understand that because we're all islanders and we're kind of grown accustomed to the way things are and the way we function, and we don't, you know, have that holiness in us. We sin. We all sin. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. But Jesus offers us a way out. He offers us a way to him. When Jesus endured death, he did it because of a choice. Death had no power over Jesus. Jesus chose to die for our sins. Jesus blazes the trail for the new humanity, a new humanity, a humanity that will be holy, that will be truly acceptable in the sight of God, free from sin, free from the wages of sin, which is death. And that's the life he offers each and every one of us. When you see him on your return, on his return, you will be like him. You will be holy as he is holy. You will be like him. And therefore, you will be able to rejoice in God's presence as you enter God's mainland, the place that he has prepared for you to live for eternity. He will make you holy by his initiative, by his power, by his spirit. God wants you. He wants you to receive him. There's not anything you can do that pleases God without accepting Christ as Lord. The Bible teaches us that it's impossible to please God without faith. Unless you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you can't please God. But if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, he, by his initiative, transforms you into a new creature And that new creature doesn't want to sin anymore, doesn't want to curse anymore, doesn't want to lie anymore, doesn't want, that new creature is struggling within you. It wants to get out. It wants to be in the presence of God. It wants no longer to be on the island. It wants to be on the mainland. And it looks forward to the time when it can fly away from this old world and leave its troubles behind. Jesus came to the mainland to take on flesh and rescue you from the destruction that is in your DNA. It was passed down to you from Adam, and only the new Adam, Jesus Christ, can give you a new birth when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you and the power of God overshadows you. You have to do nothing except receive His gift of life into you. There are many ways to talk about God's love. The greatest way is to show God's love. Jesus showed the Father's love for us by abandoning all of the things that He knew so well in heaven to come to earth to get in the pig pen with me and with you. He wants you to escape, to break free, to be in the place that He has prepared for you. Jesus wants you to receive the help that He has sent. He wants you to be rescued from the consequences of your own sins.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.